Welcome to another edition of Conversations with Creative Women. I'm Sandy Klein. Mrs. Wilkes Dining Room, a Savannah, Georgia culinary institution, has been around for 73 years. It occupies the ground floor of a building on historic Jones Street that once served as a boarding house. Back then, it was home to a wide variety of folks, including the grandfather of my guest today, Marcia Thompson. It was during the war, and his family's farm in neighboring Vidalia was used as an airfield by the government. Marcia's grandmother, Seema Wilkes, would visit on weekends and volunteered in the kitchen to help feed those living there. In 1943, Seema and her husband bought the building and in 1965 turned it into apartments. Marcia, an only child, was not only raised by her mom and dad, but also her grandmother and great-grandmother, who lived upstairs, and she spent lots of time in the house on Jones Street. Considered a pioneer for women in the restaurant business, Seema continued to provide comfortable lodging and delicious Southern cooking served family style. Guests sat at tables for 10 and passed the dishes around to one another as if they were a family, and they still do. The restaurant's reputation grew, built mostly on customers' word of mouth. There's no menu. Favorites include Southern fried chicken, meatloaf, barbecued pork, mac and cheese, candied yams, okra, collard greens, and on and on. Seema traveled to other countries to promote Savannah and the South through her cooking, and she published several cookbooks. Some notable Mrs. Wilkes diners include President Barack Obama, actors Gregory Peck, Robert Duvall, singer Kate Smith, and David Brinkley, who once broadcast directly from the restaurant. Seema died on November 1st, 2002, at the age of 95. Mrs. Wilkes' dining room lives on, thanks to Marcia and to her son, Ryan, Seema's great-grandson. The restaurant is open only from 11 to 2 o'clock Monday to Friday, and folks wait in line to make sure they get a seat at one of those tables for 10. Marcia, welcome, and thanks so much for joining me today.
Oh, thank you so much. What a lovely introduction. It brings back so many memories and reminds me how lucky I am to be part of my grandmother and grandfather's life and the life we've lived here in Savannah for the last many years now.
In the spirit of full disclosure, I've been to the restaurant. The food is delicious, and the experience of sitting with people who are not necessarily folks who you know is also very special. So because Mrs. Wilkes has one hell of a history, talk about your family's relationship with 107 West Jones Street.
I have always felt like that was my home because it's been so ingrained in our lifestyle for so many years, well, for my entire life. And, of course, growing up as a little girl there, because my mother worked somewhere else when I was five, she went back to work, and I was left there with my great-grandmother. Mrs. Wilkes always believed Mama is my grandmother, and I call her that so you will know the difference between she and my great-grandmother. But she thought I was to stay upstairs most of the time and practice my piano and take a nap and do all those things, that read my books and that kind of thing. So she only let me come down to have lunch. And I could help some with the snapping of beans and things like that. But she was a very stern, all-business woman who took everything very seriously and did her job down to the letter. She enjoyed her life and never shied from any job, and had a lot of other jobs, too, I believe. I have often been told that when she was not working or doing her duties at the restaurant, that she drove a Jeep for one of the generals at Hunter Field, which I think is just remarkable.
Oh, that's crazy.
For that age and that time, you know. One of the funniest stories I heard not too long, just the other day, this gentleman came in to eat, a minister, and he said that one of his parishioners had recently died, and he was quite elderly, of course, and he had never married, and he said, I said to the gentleman, why did you never marry? And he said, well, to tell you the truth, I was always in love with Miss Wilkes. And that just really brought it home to me how she was a many varied person. I mean, that people fell in love with her from way back, you know. Now, not to get me wrong, she was very, very devoted to my granddaddy. They were married for, gosh, I think it was 67 years, and she, I think it's quite remarkable. She laid out his clothes for him every day of his life. She would get up in the morning and lay out his entire outfit for the day and just took such good care of him. I mean, it's amazing to me how she could do that. And in those days, served three meals a day, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And, of course, her boarders, you know, were there. Most of them lived their entire life there, the ones that were there when she came and that during the war. And so it was, you know, around the time that most of them were dying that she closed the boarding house and restored it into an apartment.
I would like you to go back in time. I know you weren't born then, but this business about the government, for example, taking over your family's property to turn it into an airfield. So where the heck did that leave your grandfather and grandmother?
Well, that was so devastating because, of course, they had a great deal of family in the area, and they had grown up there. My grandmother, as a little girl, had had, you know, the perfect life. You know, they had pecan trees that she gathered. They had, grew all kinds of crops and onions and peas and butter beans. And I think it was the ideal life. She had two brothers, and they enjoyed the happy life there until she was about 7 years old, and her mother became ill and eventually asked her to pull a chair up to the old wood-burning stove and cook dinner for her family. I just think that's incredible.
Wow.
That she could do that. So that shows that she had a very, very hard beginning, and then her mother died when she was nine, and she was sent to live with a spinster aunt who lived in the area because her father married the wicked stepmother. I guess we could call her that today since they're all gone. And so for that reason, she and my granddaddy married. Of course, they all grew up there together. So it was sort of like, you know, probably one big family, extended family. But she and my granddaddy married at 17 so that they could raise and adopt her two brothers.
Wow.
So that's what they were doing when, I guess, the war started. And of course, it was very, very hard times during that time anyway. But then when the government decided they wanted to take all of their land for an airfield, they were left with finding an alternative lifestyle. And so that's when my granddaddy came to Savannah and went to work for the railroad. And then I believe they had a house in town, too. But and my grandparents, my grandmother stayed there with my mother and her other son. She had a son, and Carlton was his name. And then they eventually, you know, realized that they could move to Savannah, and she could probably take over the business because Miss Dixon was her name. She probably didn't really do, you know, is too much. Now, my grandmother didn't have anyone to come but the boarders for a good while, and then she started letting the neighbors come and have lunch and breakfast and dinner. And
was she charging the neighbors back then when she had them come?
Yes, probably 75 cents or 50 cents, something like that. I think that's incredible.
But when she first started and was going to go help out in the kitchen, Miss Dixon was not charging the boarders to eat.
She probably, it was just room and board probably at that time.
Right, right. And so there's
and
your mother.
She didn't have anyone else to come but the, you know, the people that were living there. So it was really just a very, very small day-to-day operation.
And your grandmother took her culinary skills that she had at 7 and 9 and used them in the kitchen and probably never even realized or dreamed that this would morph into an institution, for heaven's sake.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. That's so true. She never, you know, it was just doing the best she could at everything she did every day is what she did. And she was an amazing person. I mean, she just never gave up. She, like, I don't know if we've mentioned this, but she would live to be 95, and she was right in there with us until 3 weeks before she died. How many people can say that today? You know, at 95, so many people loved her and would come and, you know, make over her. And when you're 95, most of us are lucky if we see our family every day, much less 200 other people who come to visit you. So we always like to say we have 200 people for lunch every day.
That's the truth.
Which makes us feel really like we're still kind of operating the boarding house today.
So there are apartments above the restaurant today.
Yes, I have 6 apartments up there now, and the people hardly ever move. They seem to be almost permanent as well. However, I have a new venture that my son-in-law, who's married to my daughter Emily, her husband has a vacation rental business, and so I have done 2 of the parlor levels on the 105 and 107 side as vacation rentals, which was quite a joy to me to restore them beautifully with furniture and, you know, make them lovely again. That was a treat for me, feeling so close to the place myself, you know. So I've been doing that about 3 years, and I've just had the nicest people come, and it's sort of like the old boarding house. They come down and have lunch and really enjoy being there. So that's just a new little venture that we're into, and a bit of the old past, too.
I'm curious. We talked about this a little bit, but I want to focus on this some more. In your opinion, even though your grandmother was a ballsy broad, what made her think that she could run a business, a restaurant?
She never had any doubt that she could do anything she wanted to do.
That's amazing at that age and that history of our.
It is absolutely amazing. And never timid about anything. You know, she was a wonderful decorator. She could decorate. Her house was absolutely gorgeous. When I restored and redid my house, which is also downtown, she went with me to buy the rugs. And today, the things that she selected, I like much better than the things I selected at that time. It just amazes me that she could do all those other things. She was a wonderful gardener. Of course, you can imagine that.
Sure,
in the blood. Mm-hmm. But she was a wonderful gardener. She was a wonderful housekeeper. You know, I can remember when she was about, oh, goodness, she must have been about 80 years old. And, of course, you know, the summers can be quite brutal here. And she was out gardening and behind the restaurant, cleaning up there and gardening. And one of the girls that lived there called me and said, your grandmother's over here and it's 80 degrees and I'm so worried. And so I said, well, I'll come, but, you know, she's going to do what she wants to do. And, of course, when I came, she's like, as long as I can do this, I'm going to do just what I want to do. So she took great pleasure. She always said to me, you need to toughen up. You have to toughen up. But when you lived a life like she lived, I guess we don't even understand that.
For sure.
To lose her mother so young. I don't think I told you then her father died at 12. Did I mention that after he married the other mother?
Mm.
So she was pretty much on her own her whole life.
Let me just say, if you're just joining us, my guest today is Marcia Thompson, whose grandmother, Seema Wilkes, is the force behind Mrs. Wilkes' Dining Room, a Savannah, Georgia fabulous restaurant that I have eaten in and felt like I needed to be rolled out after I just kept gorging myself with Southern fried chicken and mac and cheese. I can taste it now as we're sitting here together. So here you are. You spend a lot of time in the boarding house, but then you go away to college and you pursue your own career. We talked about this before, you and I, that you were a teacher, and then you became a stewardess or a flight attendant for Delta. And then you come back to Savannah and you get into the business.
You know, as I said, I'm an only child, and I was, you know, one of those people that thought I wanted to live away and do my own thing. And we did, and I'm very grateful for that. But after about 5, 6, 7 years, not counting the time I was away in college, I really wanted to come home. Savannah is a beautiful, wonderful place to live. And I guess I didn't fully appreciate it until I left away. And so my husband and I were living in Atlanta at the time and very happy with my job. And he was a salesman for Xerox. And we just really missed our family and friends, and we really wanted to come home. And we were trying to work that out and make that work. And my husband was going to look for another job in Savannah. And my grandmother broke her ankle. And so he stepped in to help her temporarily, and that was 45 years ago. So that's what happens with a family business. Once you get started, we just never left. So we gradually moved back to Savannah and had our family and have loved living here, you know, the entire time. There's something about Savannah, it's not that small of a town, but growing up here, you feel like you know everyone, particularly when you live downtown in the historic district. Everybody's sort of like one big family. And I love going to the grocery store and seeing everybody I know, and, you know, the folks that come to eat with us are like family, and it was just, for an only child and a very close family member, our family was always so close. I just was not equipped to live away from home. Mm-hmm. That's how that happened.
Well, don't apologize for that. But
and I'm so fortunate that my children are the same way, and my children and my grandchildren all live right here in Savannah, and the tradition continues. So how lucky am I? So.
Well, you know, I want to go back again for a second and talk a little bit about your grandfather. So
yes.
In 65, your grandparents buy the building and
yes.
renovate it for all intents and purposes, but she's still running the kitchen. Did that become your grandfather's job also? I mean, did they ever get back to the farm in Vidalia, or was that just gone?
No, it was gone, and it is to my understanding that it is there till this day, that they never built the airfield. It's just sitting there.
They never built the airfield?
No.
They evicted your family from their land?
Because it was very close to the end of the war, and then the war ended, you know, as we all know, thankfully, very fast, and so they never built the airfield. And it is my understanding, although I don't know that much, since I was never born there and don't really, a lot of the family, you know, extended family is gone now, so I don't really know that much about Vidalia, but it is my understanding that the land is still there.
But they were never reimbursed?
I guess they paid them something at the time, but I have no idea how much that was. That would be very
fascinating
to know.
Mm.
But it was not very much, I can tell you that. It wasn't enough to start a big business or to feel financially secure or anything like that. It was devastating is all I can tell you.
I bet. Your grandfather left the railroad business then at some point to, you know, partner
well,
with his
he
wife.
He really did, but I mean, he more or less retired from there. He, you know, with what he did, he could work when he wanted to, so to speak. He helped her when he could, but she mostly did all of it. You know, he helped her keep the house up and that sort of thing, but she mostly did everything. If you've been in there, you realize that it becomes quite hectic, and people, when they come in, they get very excited about the food and talking with their friends that they've met in line. You know, a lot of the time you become family with the people that you've stood in line with and are eating with.
Right.
They communicate with each other. And, of course, we have a lot of international people. A little tidbit that I thought was very interesting. Last week I had a lady from Turkey, and she asked me about my grandmother's name, which is quite unusual, Sima. And I've never known anyone else by that name. And no one ever called her that except for my granddaddy. Everybody called her Mrs. Wilkes, or Ms. Wilkes is what everybody called her. But so, I mean, I never heard the name that much myself except for my granddaddy saying it. And he had a special way of saying it, too. Anyway, she said that's a very popular name in Turkey, but I don't believe we have any relation to that, but I think they were all Scottish and Irish, actually, and British, the Wilkeses.
So let me ask you, all the food that's cooked today in the restaurant, they're all your grandmother's recipes, or have things
yes.
morphed over the years, and have you
well,
added
they're all her
things?
Recipes. But, you know, when you have three or four special cooks, sometimes they'll do their own special thing, add a little extra thing they like to do. But basically, it's the same recipes. The only difference is, of course, you know, when Mama did it, she had other foods she introduced because we did dinner every night. So it was a little lighter fare. And then, of course, breakfast. So, you know, there was just more than what we do now.
But back in the day, three meals a day were being served. When was the transition made to we're only doing this from 11 to 2?
You know, I can't remember when we stopped serving dinner. I believe it was after Ronnie and I came back to Savannah and started helping. It was probably in the early 70s we quit doing dinner, maybe 73.
Because it was just too much? It was just way too much?
Yes, it was too much. And we did a huge takeout business, too, at lunch. So we dinner was from 5:30 till 7, and I think we stopped doing that sometime in the early 70s. And then we did breakfast up until Mama died. And after she died, you know, that was about the time that my husband was going to have, we were just going to have to close. As a matter of fact, that's what we had intended to do, was to close the business.
Why?
Because my husband has severe arthritis.
Mm-hmm. And he couldn't handle it.
He had really been holding on for her. So after she died, we had a vacation every year for the month of January. We closed the restaurant and take a little vacation and refurbish the restaurant and things that you can't do on a day-to-day basis. And so when we closed in January, we weren't going to reopen. And our son was just getting out of graduate school, and we all found out we were just so forlorn that we weren't going to be there anymore. It just seemed like the end of an era, the end of a family member. And he agreed to step in and help us, and has been there for 14 years now, which is really hard for me to believe. And he's done a wonderful job, and he really has not had as much help as we did, because we always had, you know, Mr. and Ms. Wilkes, and then we had my parents who would step in to help if there was ever an emergency. So, you know, when you have a backup family, it makes it a lot easier.
Oh, sure.
And so Ryan really only has me, and but he does a great job. But we just decided to do lunch and try to do a good job at that and not to do the takeouts anymore. That was really, really difficult job, because it was a big business and it was hard to keep the food, you know, cooked and then serve the people that were there for lunch as well.
So have you changed the menu much over the course of time, or is it basically what one orders today, one could have eaten in the 60s?
Absolutely. Basically exactly the same.
So the menu never varies.
We have about 17 or 18 vegetables and sides on the table every day, depending on how much we can get on the stove every day.
And
a lot of food.
And you said you serve an average 200 diners over
Something
the course
like
of
that,
3 hours?
250 every day.
How many people do you employ?
You know, I don't know the exact number. We have four or five really good cooks, and then we have probably four or five food preparation people. And then we have about four waitresses up front, our food servers. Been there forever. You know, their mothers, most of their mothers were there.
Oh, so
it's
okay.
Kind of like a real family thing.
And traditional. And what was it like when you got some of those heavyweight diners, like President Obama? I mean, that must have felt like you died and went to heaven.
So many wonderful people, I hardly would know where to start telling you. But when President Obama came, we had no idea. It was a complete surprise. So that was even better, because we didn't have time to get upset or excited or
crazy,
you know,
yeah,
crazy about him coming. But the Secret Service took the line. It was a long line that day, and they took the line and had the line move. And we didn't realize any of that was going on, because they left the what we could see out of the windows looked like we were serving as normal. And so they removed that, made all of the people in line leave, and then they put a two-block border around the restaurant and that area so that no one could enter that area. And then they came in and told us he would be there in 5 minutes. So you can imagine the excitement.
Oh, good. And you had no advance warning?
None.
Oh, that's crazy.
And so within 5 minutes, all the limo pulled into the lanes, and then the limos, and then we watched him walk down the side of the house there and come in, and he came in and said to my husband, "Something smells good up in here." He's very, very charismatic, you know. So we were all just terribly excited, and I even got to have lunch with him. He said to me, "Don't you want to ask me some questions? You might not ever get to sit with the president again." And I said, "Yes, sir. How are the girls?"
That's so cute.
I'll have to tell you, my grandmother, and I mean this sincerely, she was not every person was important to her. She really was not overwhelmed by any.
She was not starstruck.
Celebrity, you know. She did like David Brinkley, and he did his journal from there, and that was quite. And for the first many, many years, she really would not let anybody do any publicity. The first publicity I can remember was when I was flying for Delta. There was a big article on my grandmother and two or three of the cooks in Esquire magazine, and that would have been in the early 70s, and it was the the magazine was on the plane, and you know, I just have memories of that. That was one of the first articles she ever
did. Oh, that's great. That's great.
But she did let David Brinkley do his journal from there. I don't know if you're old enough to remember that. And
I am.
And then she did love Walter Cronkite, and he came to eat, and she was thrilled with that. And then the only movie star I can ever remember that she was really head over heels over was Red Skelton, and she did like him.
Uh-huh. Now, I also said in the introduction that she did a lot of promoting and traveling, promoting the South as well as the restaurant. That's pretty impressive also.
Oh, it really is. The New Otani Hotel in Tokyo, Japan, has a food fair every year, and they selected us. Usually it's a regional thing, but this year, that year, they selected us just to do Southern food, just at the one restaurant. So they came to Savannah and lived here a month and learned to do Southern cooking just like she does it, did it. And then we all got to go to Japan the next year when they did the food fair.
Oh, that's great.
Me and my husband and my children got to go, and of course Mrs. Wilkes. Mr. Wilkes was deceased at that time, and it was just a thrill of a lifetime. You know, we were there when the emperor died, and that was a stark time to be there as well. And then we've been to Brussels to promote tourism for the state of Georgia. We did a meal in a castle there, and she's been on, you know, she was on the Today Show one time. That's when she made that famous statement that shocked us all. If the colonel made chicken as good as us, he'd be a general today. And we were just all so shocked, you know, when she said that. I don't know where she got that from, but she got away with it. And I will tell you that the Kentucky Fried Chicken people in Savannah eat with us all the time, so they're not offended by it either.
Well, they know the truth. They know the truth.
We have that on the back of the T-shirts that the girls wear in the restaurant.
Oh, so, that's so great.
Anyway, that was a unique experience.
Tell us about the cookbooks.
We used to take family vacations every year, and we would drive cross-country. Like, we would drive. This is when I was a little girl. We would drive to California. We'd drive to Seattle, Washington. Just long family vacations that in the car, you know, which were just wonderful experiences and memories for a child. So during those vacations, she would tell us all of the recipes, and my mother wrote them all down. And eventually they compiled them into a cookbook. And truthfully, this is in the day before there were a million cookbooks, which, you know, there was probably Betty Crocker or, you know, some of those. But before at this time, there just weren't that many cookbooks. So we really thought we would sell just a few cookbooks, and then that would be that. You know, it was self-published, and my mother did the labor-intensive job of putting it all together. And before she died, I'm sure she sold over 400,000 cookbooks.
Oh, good Lord.
So, you know, and signed them all.
Oh,
with
my
great
God.
Great pleasure, you know.
That's amazing.
And then Random House bought the rights to do their own version of the cookbook, which is a lovely, lovely story. A lot of history in the book, but it's almost a coffee table edition of the book. So we sell that as well today, both books at the restaurant and around town. And I'm sure Random House sells it all over. So, you know, it's a beautiful book.
Well, Marcia, we've run out of time. It was so wonderful to get to know you.
Well, it was so great talking to you. Thank you so much.
Oh, the pleasure is all mine, but I must end with this really important question.
Okay.
Do you deliver to New York?
Wouldn't that be great? And believe it or not, we get asked that a lot. Could they take food back on the plane, you know? So anyway, thank you for saying that, and thank you for being so gracious.
Well,
and,
continued success.
I'm so glad to know that you've been to eat, and I hope you'll come back.
Oh, that's a given. Savannah is, like you said, a wonderful, user-friendly city, and waiting online for 20 minutes, I think that's all we did, was worth it, and we really enjoyed the experience, and I also enjoyed getting to have a conversation with you. So, Marcia Thompson, thanks so much, and more continued success with Mrs. Wilkes' Dining Room.
Oh, well, thank you so much. Look forward to seeing you again one day.
That would be terrific. Join us for another edition of Conversations with Creative Women, and please go to our iTunes store page and leave a rating and a review. And if you know anyone you think that we should interview, contact us at sandyclineshow.com.